Welcome to everybody. We are looking at the Old Testament lesson for the resurrection of our Lord. And this is following the Lutheran service book, lectionary. So I think that for many of us, this is a new Old Testament reading for Easter. And it comes from Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. Certainly toward the end of Isaiah, where any number of themes that have been stated earlier in the book are restated, recapitulated, reused to describe the renewed heavens and renewed earth. So it's a bit of a longer text, so let's just kind of launch into it. Verse 17, normally when Hebrew has a hene with a participle, it indicates an imminent action. Now we need to understand a little bit that Isaiah is addressing people probably who are coming back after Cyrus's decree in 537 BC, and so they are anticipating a new life, a rebuilt, renewed Jerusalem, and the blessings of the covenant promises as stated in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So Isaiah promises that. It's going to be a renewed heavens and renewed earth, which is kind of interesting here. So, ki hene vo re, shemayim kadashim, and then the feminine singular adjective kadashah, going with eretz in the second part of the poetic line here. That is almost universally understood here as a renewed heaven and renewed earth. So this is not what the people were looking for. See, just give me a renewed Jerusalem and some rebuilt walls. Bring in Nehemiah and the gang and we'll be just peachy. But this might tell us that on Easter, see, the triune God is after more than just Jesus being resurrected. That certainly is the essence of the charismatic message that day, that Jesus is alive. Mary cries out, Rabboni, I have seen the Lord. Peter and John run to the tomb. John is quicker than Peter, like I'm a little bit faster than Professor Gibbs, but then Brandon Martin's a little faster than me, so we can't use that analogy too well around the table. But if you're going to try to preach on this, Easter is more than just Jesus being alive. Isaiah 65, 17 is where we begin. And maybe that might be a good way to begin. It's not just Jesus being alive. It's not just a new Jerusalem. Yahweh is after something much greater and much larger. It's not even after our resurrection, see, or the animals being renewed, although we have that at the end of our pericope, but a renewed heaven and renewed earth is finally what Easter is all about. And Jesus is the first fruits of this, but there is a whole lot more coming down the pike. So it's important that Yahweh is always the subject of this verb, bara, here in its call participial form. He is the destroyer throughout much of Isaiah, but he's also the recreator in this case. He's destroyed Jerusalem. I mean, it certainly was Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. Nebuchadnezzar is called Yahweh's servant throughout the second half of Jeremiah. So Yahweh's the one who destroyed things. He's going to now rebuild things, and not just Jerusalem, but a renewed heaven and renewed earth. I would say that's the best way to understand Revelation 21 verse 1 as well. It's not a new heaven, a new earth, as though these are going to be completely discontinuous with what we have now. But there's going to be continuity as well as discontinuity, as we have here. All right, so then we go on. It will, the ha-resha-ot, so this is another adjective, feminine plural, which is the way Hebrew gets a neuter idea. So the first things, see Niphal of Zakar with the Dagesh Forte and the Zion and the comets under the Zion is would be our ways to distinguish this. A Niphal imperfect third feminine plural to go with the adjective there. So the former things will not be remembered. So what are the former things here? It would be the devastation of 587. See, it's not like they're going to forget the Pentateuch or something. But the Ha-Resha-Ot would be the devastation, the burning, the destruction. See, you won't remember those things. And Velo Ta'alena Alev. And here's another call imperfect, or another imperfect, this time a call from Allah, third feminine singular, to go again with the feminine plural adjective here. Those things, these former things, will not be upon lave. Very rarely does that mean heart. It almost universally means your mind, your inner disposition. So you won't think about these things when Yahweh is recreating. Well, verse 18. Hi, Joel. How you doing? Ki'im is a strong adversative. Rather, see, on the other hand, Sisu ve'gilu ade'at. Rather, they. Now, who's the they? See, well, the people who return from Babylon, as well as those who join in subsequent returns, Ezra, Nehemiah, but we're thinking mostly about 537. Rather, they will rejoice, cease, they will be glad forever. On account of, probably this is a purpose asher, on account of what I am recreating. So you see you have vore in verse 17 and two times in verse 18. And I am about, kihene vore, not only the renewed heavens and renewed earth, see, but obviously Yerushalayim. I'm going to recreate Yerushalayim, which had been rubble, and there's the death, there's the Good Friday experience, and you could go to the Book of Lamentations and find some Old Testament understandings of that. The temple was destroyed. That might be a homiletical hook here. The city was devastated. A gila, that's just the noun that comes from the verb gil, a joy, and her people, masos, are rejoicing. Well, then verse 19, we're going to have more sus and giling going on. I will rejoice, this is Yahweh, ve'gal ti v'rushalayim, in Jerusalem, and I will be glad in... And here it is, my people. So throughout the first half of Isaiah, it's always Ha'am Ha'zeh, this people. So for example, in 29:13, this people honors me with their lips, their hearts are far from me. Isaiah 6 verse 9, go and tell this people. See, be ever hearing, but you'll never understand. So with the pivot in chapter 40, Nakamu, Nakamu, Ami, now we have the covenantal formula of Exodus 6 verse 7 back in place. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. So throughout prophetic literature, this is charged with gospel ideas. Hosea's little Lo Ami, that's the third born child, will finally in Hosea chapter 2 become Ami, my people. So it's interesting. Again, we focus so much on the resurrection of Jesus, which is great, but we have a reconstituted city, we have a reconstituted universe, see, and we have a reconstituted people. Which are you know, more global ideas that are derivative from the resurrection, finally. So then another Niphal, V'lo yishama va'od kol beki. So there will not be heard in her. See, in her being Yerushalayim, a feminine noun there. Again, a voice of weeping. Beki looks like it has a first common singular pronominal suffix, but that's just the way it is spelled in Hebrew. So just a voice of weeping. You can almost see that Roman Catholic priest on the Titanic quoting, see, from Revelation 21, which certainly has echoes of this text. And there will not be weeping, and there will not be any more sea from Revelation 21, verse 1. So if that's an imagery you have, then you still remember Jack and Rose. And then, or a voice of Ze'akah. Now, normally, although you can't press this too much, Ze'akah is what Israel does in Egypt. They cry out to Yahweh. This is what the Shunammite woman does in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. She cries out to Yahweh. Usually when people are Ze'akahing, here it's just the noun, it means economic oppression. And so this is classically used in Isaiah 5 verse 7 where Yahweh looked for Zedekah and he heard Za'akah. But there's no more Za'akah here. People aren't getting ripped off by brokerage firms that are going to charge them 18% interest on their credit cards and 27% interest if they refinance their mortgage or whatever's going on. Well, so then the next couple verses, verse 20 talks about how people are going to live a long time. So there will not be from there, again, ool, someone who sucks, okay, just a little infant days. Or a zakain, an old man, who will not fulfill his days. So this is the Old Testament way of talking about John 10:10b, a full life, an abundant life. They're just going to finally see they're going to live forever. He doesn't kind of come out and say that, but that's the general gist of the poetry. There will not be a Na'ar, a son of 100 year, Yamut, will die. I'm sorry, there indeed, let's back up. Indeed, you see, if a Na'ar, if someone dies when they're 100 years old, they will be a young man, apparently. A Na'ar, that's what Jeremiah 1:5 says, I'm a Na'ar. So a Na'ar is someone who dies at 100 years, see. Now, premillennial dispensationalists like to take this next part of the verse and understand the Hebrew poetry and understand this Ve'ha Koteh as a sinner. Now, that's fair enough. Most of the time, kata or koteh means sinner. And this is where they get the idea that at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, Satan will have this mikron kronin, this short season of Revelation 20, verse 3 and verse 7. And this is where he's going to get, his hordes to have the final attack. Well, this understanding is not paying close attention to the Hebrew poetry. In this case, we would say someone who misses, see, kata can have that idea, an archery term, say in Judges 16. It's not that often, but this is how we'd understand it here. Someone who misses 100 years, see, a ben me'ah shenah, 100-year-old son, this guy will be cursed. So it's not talking about the short season of Satan. It's just simply saying that people are going to live a long time in the reconstituted order. Well, and then what's going to happen? They will build batim, houses, and they'll actually live in them. See, so like in Amos chapter 5, they build houses and they don't live in them. They plant vineyards and they don't eat their fruit. So the curse has been reversed. Isaiah talks about this as well, but I can't recall where he does. But I know Amos does. And they will not plant, Natah, first Nun, and then it's assimilated into the Tet there, and another will eat. Indeed, the days of the tree understood will be like the days of my people. They'll live a long time. The work of their hands they will delight in. Beth Kirai, my chosen ones. Now, of course, that's loaded in the second part of Isaiah. Election. The servancy is elected in 42 verse 1. So that means the servant's people are elected too, to this new life. Well, verse 23, Lo ye ge'u la reek, so they will not toil for reek, vanity. Of course, that appears, right, in the Sermon on the Mount in Aramaic, raka, empty. You don't want to call anyone raka. I think I've got that one right. Here's not the Aramaic, but the Hebrew. So you won't, your labor will not be in vain, right? 1 Corinthians 15:58. And they will not what? Give birth in terror. Rather, the seed of the ones being blessed by Yahweh are they, and their offspring with them. So the subsequent generations, the Zerah, and the offspring, they will be blessed as well. Well, here the last two verses sound much like Isaiah 11 verses 6 through 9. And they're very close to this, especially verse 25. And it will happen, Vehaya terem yikra'u ve'ani e'eneh. And so there will be this closer relationship between Yahweh and His people and the reordered heavens and earth. See, and it will come to pass, before they call, I will answer, while they are speaking, pale participle of devar, while they are speaking, ve'ani eshma, I myself will answer. Well, this is what you have in John 20, right? Go and tell my brothers, which they're not called, ad elfoi in the fourth gospel, until the resurrection. So you kind of get that feeling in John's gospel. There's this new relationship that Yahweh has in the reordered cosmos. He's closer to His people now. Well, then it ends somewhat like it began. So you have a renewed heavens and earth, and that's going to not only involve Jerusalem and the covenant people, it's also going to involve animals. Ze'av would be a wolf, and a little lamb, Tela, they will dwell. Will not dwell, they'll probably dwell, but they will graze ke'ekad, like one, and a aryeh, a ravenous lion, like livestock, will eat tevin, will eat straw. But, probably take that vav as a disjunctive, but the nakash, okay, the Nakash of Genesis 3, verse 1, right? Afar lachmo, the Nakash, understood, will eat, see, dust for his food. You could, there's your text right there. You know, that would be an interesting text for Easter, that the Nakash is going to have no Easter feast at all. He's going to eat dust. Well, finally, in Romans chapter 16, the promise is that Satan will taki, right? Quickly be crushed under your feet. So the reason why all of this is happening is because of the defeat of the Nakash. And where is all this going to be? Just like this is just a straight quote from Isaiah 11, verse 9. Lo ya-re'u, it's a hifil of ra'ah, resh ayin ayin, geminate. They will not cause evil, and they will not cause destruction. Velo yak, or yak, yash, kitu. another hifel, this time of a shakat. They will not cause harm, they will not cause destruction, but kol har kodesho. And it's kind of, this is the signature. This guarantees it, Amar Yahweh. Well, where is the holy mountain? Well, throughout Isaiah, it's in Zion. Mount Zion is where you are going to experience all of this. And according to Hebrews 12:22-24, that would be the church of the firstborn, the angels in joyful procession. The people whose names are written in the book. So, if I was preaching on this, I think I would take as my clue, what are you going to eat for Easter? Some of you have been in a fast, right? And you're ready for Easter ham, Easter eggs, Easter chocolates. You're ready to have the Easter feast. And why is that? Because the Nakash is... he's eaten dust, and someday he's going to taste fire. You know, we'll move over to Dr. Jeffrey Kim.